to Coffee with Crime Season 3. I am Lewis.
And I'm Alexi.
We are so happy to be back.
Yeah. When was our last episode? It was in April, right?
It was in April. Okay. It was in a hotel room.
So yeah, we've taken like a 2-month break.
Yes.
Or I guess almost 3 months, but it doesn't feel like
that. No, I think you're right. I think 2 months.
Okay.
That's how we do it. And it's been quite a busy couple of months. Mm-hmm. I have a... I still have a thing that I was kind of referring to. I'm going to be interviewing one of the roasters that we tried on season one. Really cool roaster called Makina Coffee. And there's this guy named Gabe who emailed me and said he'd be up for doing an interview, but we still need to do that. So after the one last with my friend Tony, where it went 90 minutes, I feel like I really need to keep that a little shorter. But we have a few really cool coffees here today. Thank you everyone for listening and like keeping on listening when we take breaks. So let's get right into it. The theme of today's coffee is a cool thing. I had a birthday earlier this month, and some of my dear friends who are also great supporters of my music, come out to a lot of shows, are Tori and Alyssa, and they're both like baristas around here and just really good friends, and they love coffee and they know that we love coffee. So for my birthday, they gave me these three different bags of specialty coffee, whole bean coffee. So we're going to try them, and they are all from very different places, which I really like. The first one is from Santa Cruz, California. And it's called Cat and Cloud. And so I listened to the on the website. They had some, so I'll just read this. It says, mission, Cat and Cloud's mission is to inspire connection by creating memorable experiences. And then values. We opened our first cafe on Portola Avenue in Santa Cruz with 8 employees and a big dream. Today, we've grown into a roastery, 4 cafes, and a wholesale partner and wholesale partners around the world, all who share our vision and the same stoke for creating memorable experiences through coffee. For a deeper dive into what we believe and what the mission means to us, give a listen to this episode of our podcast. And so right below, you can click on a podcast, which I listened to. And it was really cool because there's 2 out of the 3 owners that are just bantering with each other, much like you and I do.
Yeah.
Except very, very casual. They were just going all, it was a no railing on this discussion. But the goal was them discussing their mission and what, and the history of their coffee shop and stuff. And one of the things that was really funny in that podcast was them talking about when they first started their mission, that they really spent a lot of time coming up with. Their mission statement for the cafe was, if you leave people happier than when you first met them, then you've done your job. And so what that resulted in the way that they pitched it to their staff was that people were just like exuberantly friendly to the point where the owners themselves were super annoyed when they walked into their own cafe. And it reminded me of what people talk about with Trader Joe's. I don't necessarily mind Trader Joe's. I like people.
You got Trader Joe'd.
You got Trader Joe'd. But if anyone has been to Trader Joe's, they'll know what we're talking about. I don't know is Trader Joe's still that way as much?
I mean, I don't go there super often because obviously we don't have one close to here. But I mean, yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, the times that I've been there within the past, a couple years or whatever.
So how's your job? Man, your eyes look great. High five.
Ooh,
up here, up top.
What are you cooking today?
Yeah, they always ask what you're making.
None of your business. Yeah.
And they said, it was interesting, they said that some of their clientele really liked that. They just liked people being bubbly and warm. And them, though, as the owners, and then some other people were kind of like, okay. And for a trendy, edgy coffee shop, I don't think that's what they're going for. So it was kind of funny to hear them talk about that and then how they kind of curbed people in the direction that they wanted, which was friendly, but not just like, what's up, man? Like, how you doing, bro?
Right, yeah. I just don't, I don't respond to that.
Really?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just don't feel like having a real, like, lively conversation at the store or whatever,
Yeah.
Like, it's nice, but I feel like there should, like, at Trader Joe's, there should be, like, registers that have like a sign on it that says that's is, like
oh the yeah, friendly register
the friendly ones and then the ones where they just oh. like won't talk to you and they'll just like ring up your stuff.
What if it, you
tell
know,
you how much you owe and right. then be on how with, much you be owe. On with it
like at Hy-Vee. What if like yeah. wouldn't it be sad though if the person like working the friendly counter like didn't yeah. have anyone to like talk to and they're just like sitting there like a
yeah like or a, like one of the non-friendly ones like didn't show up so yeah. they had to like take over that register oh, and they were just man. Like
so the podcast was really fun to listen to. They also talked about having to fire people that just didn't fit well with their you know with the culture of the cafe and just weren't having a good time and were right. kind of like talking crap about the cafe and not and really dragging everyone else down. And they talked about how hard it is to fire someone, but also how important it is to let someone like that go, because not only are they dragging your company down, but they're actually not having a great time themselves.
Yeah.
So it was interesting just to hear a couple of business owners in the deep into the coffee world talk about the nuts and bolts of it in a very informal way. So yeah, look up Cat and Cloud Coffee, and that is, I should say, C-A-T, like the animal, Cat and Cloud Coffee, out of Santa Cruz. So let's just try this first out of our three coffees. Okay. And
I like the bag.
Yeah, it's a really cool looking bag, kind of an aqua. Yep, that's it. An aqua colored bag, and this is a Honduran coffee, from the Wilson Morales Estate, I assume. 10 ounces, 283 grams. Got a cool little cartoon picture of a cat on it.
Do you have tasting notes on there?
There are no tasting notes, okay. which I like. So what are you coming
well,
up
you,
with?
Well, you taste it first. Well, you've probably already tasted it, right?
I have, but okay. it's been a couple days. Oh, man, this is good.
It's really good. Everybody loves to hear you breathe.
Yeah, breathe out my nose into the microphone. It, just in case anyone doesn't know, if you're trying to taste something, sometimes breathing out your nose without, you know, while closing yeah. your mouth kind of helps you taste things that you wouldn't normally taste. What are you tasting in this Cat and Cloud Honduran coffee?
Like, okay, this is a tasting note that I feel like I get a lot and it's not yeah. ever right, but caramel corn. Do you get that?
Now I do.
Yeah. Like that was like the like overwhelming
really
what I tasted. Yeah,
that's a really cool tasting note. I think they would I think that would be cool if yeah. at some point we came across a coffee that listed that as a tasting note. I got stone fruit.
Interesting.
I learned how to.
I don't even know what stone fruit
well,
is.
Well, I learned what it is from this podcast because I saw that as a tasting note one time on a bag of coffee. I can't remember yeah. whose. And I looked it up, and it's just any fruit that has a large pit inside of it. So
peach or apricot. Whatever. Okay.
And so this, I get kind of like a peach apricot. Okay. Kind of like a...
Interesting.
And also, I think cherry is okay. in that family, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But that I taste a little bit of that. It's definitely sweet, and it's smooth. And my favorite kind of coffees are sweet, smooth, light, or medium, usually medium roasted coffees.
Yeah.
And I remember when we tasted Cova coffee last season, we had a couple of Honduran coffees and I just thought they were phenomenal. And this is a Honduran coffee as well. So I think I am a sucker for Honduras
yeah.
as far as coffee goes. Really good one. So
yeah, that
I'm going to sneak, one more, sneak one more sip. And next coffee is Dash Coffee out of Cedar Rapids, where their motto is... good enough isn't good enough. Mm. They say on their website in their about section, it says, this is a statement that pushes us to pursue better in all aspects at Dash. We're a group of coffee-loving, community-seeking, passionate people who settled into Cedar Rapids, Iowa to build our Dash. Life comes down to the Dash that represents all you've spent your years doing, and we want ours to represent something huge. We've set out to cultivate a community that gathers around a cup of meticulously crafted coffee and grows in relationship and life from there. So, out of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, we've never had any coffee out of there, and this is the bag is real neat design, kind of like a black line drawing with some markers colored in of a coffee tree. You know, that's what you're seeing there with a really cool logo, and this is, natural and washed process. Let's see. Or Ethiopia. So this is their single origin Ethiopia that's natural and washed processed.
Nice. I like that bag too.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. Really cool. Yeah, roasted just recently. And on the side of the bag, yeah, same statement. So here we go. Let's try the Ethiopia from Dash. Go for
it. All right. That's good.
After seeing the look on your face, I'm really looking forward to tasting this. How do you know so quickly what you taste? I feel like it takes me a little longer.
I don't know as quickly with that. I'm going to have to taste that one again. But with that one, it was like immediate. Let me try that one again.
Honestly, I'm getting some similar flavors from the previous one. Kind of like a smooth, fruity sweetness.
Yeah, this one I definitely taste more of like a fruity taste.
Okay.
Like I'm getting more of like the cherry
yeah.
in this. Does this one have tasting notes?
It does. Ooh. Oh man, these are pretty exotic. Oh, watch man. Out.
What?
Well, you can try, but it's going to be hard. I would never be able
no,
to
I
get
don't
this.
Know.
The tasting notes are, well, they don't call them tasting notes. It says inspires thoughts of Dash.
Okay.
So inspires thoughts of green tea. I can see that.
Okay.
Elderflower. I've never eaten elderflower, no. so I don't know. Dragon fruit. I've had dragon fruit before.
Okay.
Have you ever had that? It's that white fruit with the seeds in it.
No,
so
I don't think so.
Oh, it's really, it's the coolest looking of all the fruits in the world. I guarantee you. And fresh. It's fresh. So I, yeah, I agree with that. And we got the fruit. We didn't get the dragon fruit, but.
Right. Yeah.
Really good coffee.
It is really good.
So yeah, we had California. We got way closer with Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And then we are almost right in town with a coffee. And this is a dark roast coffee from a place called The Local Motive right in Geneseo. About a half an hour away from here. Our friend Tori used to be a barista there. I'm not sure if she still is right now, but she has worked there before. Big fan of that place. They have great, you know, they have like a full menu of breakfast stuff. They have fruit smoothies, they have frappes and all that stuff. So if you are ever coming through Geneseo, Illinois, or if you live there, definitely check it out if you have not already. They also, I thought of you when I saw this on their Facebook page. They have a house-made vanilla sweet cream in their cafe to add as cream to any of your coffee drinks. I really... apologize for not having the sweet cream here for you.
I thought you were going to bust out and be like, and that's why I have.
And I'm so sorry. I feel terrible.
We'll have to go there sometime.
Yes, we will for sure. But this is a dark roast from them. It's a Peru Cajamarca. And well, actually, okay, it says medium roast. So roasting is kind of subjective. To me, this looks a little bit more like a dark roast, but they define it as a medium. Washed process. And it's got a couple tasting notes, so let's see if we can detect them. I will go first this time with the Peru from Local Motive in Geneseo. Okay, now you taste. We both have to agree exactly on tasting notes or we can never record a podcast again. I'm just kidding.
No. Some kind of chocolate.
Yeah, it would. Well, that's not on the tasting list, but
Okay, we can record again.
I agree. On this one, tasting notes of tamarind, which is a fruit from Africa and India. Okay. I do not know what tamarind tastes like, so for my purposes, that's not something that I would recognize. But then sugarcane and savory fruit.
Okay.
Yeah, and for something, so this one is technically, you know, according to them, a medium roast, but it is darker than the first two we tasted. Mm-hmm. But for a darker roasted coffee, I usually don't gravitate toward those, but this one I actually do really like, and I can taste the sweetness in it. So it's a really well roasted coffee, and
a savory fruit? What does that mean?
Probably anything that's not a tomato. I'm guessing.
Wouldn't that be a tomato?
Savory fruit. Oh, savory fruit. Right. Sorry, I'm totally just was not thinking. Yeah, savory fruit would be exactly like a tomato.
Okay.
Or like pretty much just that.
Avocado. Yeah, is that a fruit?
I don't know. We have to do some more research here, clearly.
Yeah, I know.
So yeah, California, Cedar Rapids, Geneseo, or nice. Santa Cruz, Cedar Rapids, Geneseo. What's your favorite?
I think the caramel corn one was my favorite.
Okay.
Yeah, the cat and cloud. Yeah.
Yeah. That was my favorite too.
Was it?
Yeah. Oh, wow. I like all of these, but that one was my favorite. It's super smooth, super, really, really an interesting coffee.
Yeah.
And yeah, again, like fun to hear the owners talk about a little bit of the history of the place on the website. And so those are our coffees for today. I am all hopped up now. So now we can kind of sip away on all three while we hear about
some crime. Oh my gosh.
Did this crime happen at Trader Joe's?
Yes. No. I wonder if there are any like...
Ooh.
I mean, I'm sure there's been like shoplifting and stuff, but I wonder if there's any like murders or like major assaults that have happened at Trader Joe's.
Because that counts for our website. It's called Coffee with Crime, not Coffee with Murder.
Yeah, that's true.
So we don't necessarily have to do murder.
It doesn't have to be someone who was murdered in a Trader Joe's. Maybe just like, you know, lightly maimed. So it's been a while since I did this, so I'm kind of nervous.
Right. Oh, just one more big thank you to Alyssa and Tori for giving me these great coffees that we will continue to enjoy until they are completely depleted. And yeah, we got a great podcast out of tasting them. So thank you.
Yes, thank you. All right.
Crime.
I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous.
So we are actually going to do this in a two-part thing.
Okay.
We've done a couple two-part crimes before.
Yeah. Jodi Arias and then Clint.
Yes. So this one will be two parts.
Speaking of that, who were we talking to the other day that brought up the Jim Clint case?
Oh.
Someone said, did you ever know there was a chiropractor who...
Yeah.
And then we were like, yeah, we did an exhaust.
Yeah, we were like telling somebody about the podcast.
Yeah.
I can't remember who that was.
We do that a lot. I think I do that. I just shamelessly plug the podcast. Have you ever listened to our podcast? I actually did that today after a gig.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
I'm trying to get my Carmex, so just talk for a second.
Okay. Yeah, it has been a... busy. So one of the things that's kind of contributed to
this podcast brought to you by Carmex.
Carmex, that's right. I've been working on an album. As many of you know, I'm a musician, and so I'm working on completing an album that I wrote, recording it, pressing it, making CDs, and then having an album release concert at the Redstone Room in Davenport on September 10th. So that has consumed a lot of my time. Recently, just getting ready for that. Having a lot of really great musicians come in and record solos and stuff like that. But so we have been, and there's so many birthdays.
I know.
There are just so many birthdays.
We've, like, this time and of I year, love it's just every, non, it's non-stop.
I love everyone who has a birthday.
Birthday, holidays.
It's like it never ends. And then, like, your and mine anniversary is in June as well. And then you got Mother's and Father's Day.
Right.
And so it's, yeah, I feel like a lot of the past couple of months has just been, like, celebrating birthdays and other things, and it's been great, but it's just it's made for a pleasantly busy beginning to the summer.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, we are back to the podcast, Crime Time.
All right, so today we're going to be talking about Bernadette Prati.
How do you spell Prati?
P-R-O-T-T-I.
Okay.
And this name may not ring a bell. If you are familiar with actually, my most favorite Lifetime movie of all times.
Wow.
It's called Death of a Cheerleader. It's a 1994 Lifetime movie. It was also called A Friend to Die for a while, and they changed the name. I'm not sure why.
Huh.
But it is so good. It's starring Tori Spelling and Kelly Martin, and it's by far the best Lifetime movie.
You watch a lot of Lifetime movies.
I have seen a lot of Lifetime movies.
So let me just ask you, what makes it far and above the best?
Like, I feel like today's Lifetime movies have really gone downhill in quality. And like, this was based on a true story.
Yeah.
And it followed the story very closely. So I think obviously that made it interesting. Other than, you know, yeah, it was a real thing, not like these bizarre yeah plots that they try to make
yep
now in these movies. But also it's just like, I don't know, you have to watch it to understand, but I feel like you really kind of like feel what this girl is feeling.
That's a huge accomplishment for a film to do right that to you, where you feel like, you know, those right are great films where you think you're in the shoes of the person who,
right,
the character, yeah.
So wow, yeah, it's good. So, they remade this a couple years ago and it was not nearly as good.
Yeah.
So if you're going to watch it, watch the 1994 yes version of this movie.
Yeah, look carefully at the credits before you purchase on Amazon. You don't want to waste your money.
That's right. I mean, if you see Tori Spelling, you know Spelling, you're getting the right one.
That's the gold.
Yeah. All right. So Bernadette Prati. So she was born on September 20th, 1968, and she grew up in Orinda, California. Now, Orinda, California is an upper class area. It's about 30 minutes from San Francisco. She was the youngest of seven children, and her parents, Raymond and Elaine, worked hard to give them the best life. So they were a devout Catholic family. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. So many kids. And Raymond worked as an engineer, although he had retired by the time Bernadette entered high school. You know, she was the youngest of all those kids. So he was her parents were a little bit older by the time she entered high school. So Bernadette attended Miramonte High School. And as you can imagine, in a town like this, where there's a lot of upper class people, you know, if you weren't rich, if you didn't have the best of the best stuff, you were kind of, you know, a loser. Mm. Mm. In a place like this. And, you know, Bernadette, she was a pretty girl. She was well-liked, but she was very quiet and she had a lot of issues with her self-esteem. Mm. So she never felt like she was good enough. She never felt like she fit in. She was just always kind of down on herself and she really, you know, wanted to be somebody else.
Oh.
So she had a few close friends, but she desperately wanted to be part of the popular in crowd.
Mm.
So every
I remember feeling that way.
Do you?
Yeah.
In your school, in high school?
In homeschool. I wanted to be cooler than my sister.
Was your sister like that popular girl that...
I mean, she was for a while. She was after high school. Yeah, she was.
That's funny.
But yeah, we're still good friends and we were very popular with each other. So. Aww.
Yeah, I guess you don't really get that in like homeschool.
Yeah.
Like that, you know.
Yeah,
I'm sure that you had it like your neighborhood or
yeah,
like
I would go play basketball.
Or, yeah.
I would go play basketball out at the park, and then I would see like what other kids were wearing. I'm like, oh man, I want those shoes. Or I want that jersey. Aww. So yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So I saved up my money.
You kind of get it.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit.
But yeah, I mean, like, I mean, I think in every high school there's that, you know. Yeah.
Were you a popular person in high school?
No. No, yeah. I was not. Like, I was never part of, like...
Hard to believe.
I was never part of, like, that popular crowd, but I had really good friends.
That were in the popular crowd?
No. Oh. That were just, like, we were just, like, really good friends, and we were just our own crowd.
So you weren't, like, cheerleaders, you weren't nerds, you were just, like, between?
Yeah, I would
you're
say.
You're just, like, you were just happy with your own.
Yeah, and I never cared about being part of any other group because I was just really...
That's really good.
Me and my friends from high school, we're still friends
you are.
Today.
You guys are very tight and you hang
really
out a
cool.
lot.
We
it
do
is
hang
really,
out a lot.
It is really
yeah.
cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so I would have much rather had, you know, that...
The friends that you have.
...than try to be yeah. part of some, like, you know...
Yeah.
Whatever. So
this has been a good talk about popularity.
Yes.
This has been Coffee with Popularity and Crime.
Coffee with Navigating High School. Okay, anyway, back to the crime. So Bernadette, even though she wasn't part of this group, you know, she was pretty, she was well liked. Like I said, she was quiet, you know, she was just didn't feel she kind of felt like a loser.
Mm.
So she did have friends, but she just always desperately wanted to be in this group.
Yeah.
So one girl that she really admired and wanted to be friends with was named Kirsten Costas.
Ooh, cool name.
Yeah. And Kirsten was a pretty outgoing and very popular girl. She was part of
pretty as in attractive or pretty outgoing as in like fairly outgoing?
She was attractive and very outgoing.
Oh, okay.
She was,
you can tell
sort
her to
of outgoing.
I don't usually drink coffee at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so Kirsten was part of this popular group. Her family had a lot of money. She and her younger brother lived in one of the most affluent neighborhoods oh. in the city. And her father, Arthur, was an executive at the 3M Corporation.
Whoa.
So Arthur was rolling loaded. In the dough. Yeah, he was making bank. And her mother, Barrett, didn't work. She stayed home and raised the kids because, you know, Arthur's just bringing it in. So once high school came about, Kirsten was involved in many extracurricular activities. Among these, she was on the swim team, she was a cheerleader, and she was a member of a sorority-type club called the Bobolinks, or the Bobbies, as they were known.
Okay.
They did community service projects and other activities, and it was a great honor to be a part of this club. Yeah. Like, every girl wanted to be in this, because, you know, you were super cool if you were in this club. You had to be selected and go through an initiation process, so kind of like a... you know, sorority or fraternity type thing.
Right.
So by her sophomore year, Bernadette was desperate to be a part of Kirsten's world. She applied for the Bobolinks, the yearbook club, and she even tried out for cheerleading. Although she was accepted into the Bobolinks and had begun to make friends with the popular crowd, unfortunately, she did not make the cheerleading squad, which ended up being a huge blow to her already fragile self-esteem. Mm. And a few months later, she learned that she was not selected for the yearbook committee either, which I guess was a big deal to be a part of that. So she's kind of like, you know, feeling pretty bad about herself.
Yeah.
And although, you know, she had been accepted into the Bobolinks and she had begun to make friends with the popular crowd. Hang on. I'm sorry. I think I'm like repeating stuff.
It's okay.
Okay. Here we go. Even though she had made friends with a lot of the girls, there was still something nagging at her. And it was that Kirsten didn't seem to fully accept her. So there's this one girl that she really wanted to be friends with, and she just kind of wasn't totally accepting her. So during that same year, Bernadette joined her classmates on a school ski trip. She babysat and took other odd jobs to pay for the trip and to buy some ski equipment, hoping to impress her popular classmates, namely Kirsten.
Especially,
yes. Although it didn't go as planned, because as soon as Kirsten saw her secondhand equipment, she promptly made fun of it, which was devastating to Bernadette.
Wow.
So she got all this stuff, hoping that Kirsten's going to be like, oh, cool skis. Oh, man. Totally radical. 'Cause this was 1984. And so she felt pretty bad. So by the summer of 1984, Bernadette was feeling more like a failure than ever. She had failed at becoming fully integrated into the in crowd, and her dream of being best friends with Kirsten was moving further and further away. And although she did have the Bobolinks, she decided to use it to devise a plan that would end up linking her and Kirsten Costas forever.
Dun, dun, dun.
And that is the end of part one of our podcast.
You're going to leave it there?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot to mention, this is going to be a two-parter.
No, you did mention that, okay. But that's just such a torturous place, too. That should be a crime in itself, is leaving us there.
Yeah.
All right, well, I have to wait.
So we'll find out next time what happens.
Man. I have so many questions, but I better not ask them because leading into... wow. Well, we will continue to enjoy this coffee, and we will see you next week for episode 2 of Coffee with Crime.
We'll take our coffee
with crime.